Hello, no BS. How are you? How is everyone? I am going to turn off my chat because Coach Judith is there. Coach Judith is talking in the chat in all caps so that you can be sure that you see her and know how wise and wonderful she is. When I'm going to get Coach Lisa to come up and help me with the Q&A. All right, Lisa, you should be ready to go. There she is. All right, everybody. I'm Kathy. For anyone who doesn't know, if you are new, you are on a live training Zoom. This is a special Wednesday part of your No BS membership where usually Corinne comes in and teaches a concept. Today you have me. Because Corinne is at a conference learning all the things. In fact, I have a little video to play for you in just a minute. I am so happy to be here. I'm almost going to tear up. Probably will tear up, but let's get through the announcements, then I'll play the video. Okay. So I'm Kathy. I've been around a long time, used to be on the podcast, used to be a coach, held lots of jobs in No BS, have been doing everything. Working just as hard behind the scenes as I did out front in order to make your weight loss experience in No BS as easy as it can be, as clear as it can be. So I get to do this call today because Corinne is out of town. And she asked me, she said, Kathy, do you want to do this call? I'll do an intro video for you and I'll make a special announcement. So here's where we're going. First of all, we're going to play Corinne's video. Then we're going to talk about Move Your Body May, which is the monthly challenge. We're dropping fun bonus content in the Facebook group. We're doing all the things. You've got the monthly challenge page on your nobs.com, nobsweightloss.com. We've got it all going for you. And I'm going to talk to you today, whether you are brand new to exercise, whether you are seasoned exerciser, whether you're up and down, whatever it is, I'm going to tell you a story about me. Okay. So first things first, let's play Corinne's video. Okay. Can you all see Corinne? Give me thumbs up. All right, you ready? Here we go.
Hello, everyone. So I have a special treat today. Not only are we going to talk about busting through a bunch of the like old shitty thoughts you have around movement, but you're going to get taught today by Kathy Hartman. And I am introducing this for a very special reason. If you've been around for a long time, you know that Kathy was the podcast co-host for years. She has been in various departments inside of No BS. She has been here since the start of when I really started building a team. You know, I created this company all by myself, and at some point, I just knew I was going to have help. And luckily for me, Kathy was in my life, and she was one of the first people that I trusted the baby of No BS with. Well, she's done many roles, and her latest one has been in project management, working with marketing and stuff. One of the things we realized, though, is that Kathy is an amazing coach at heart. Like, that is where she's in her zone of genius. That is where she excels. Y'all love her, and we are constantly getting requests for, can Kathy do more coaching? Can Kathy, you know, do more calls? So Kathy and I talked about it, and we came to the same conclusion that coaching is her strong suit. This is where she puts on her Wonder Woman boots and gets busy with y'all. So I am very excited and very proud to announce that Kathy Hartman is now in the coaching department again. She will be taking one-on-one clients. You will see her on more calls and all of the great things. So today is her first big call with all the members of No BS. I know that y'all will give her all of the emojis. all of the congratulations in the chat and that you will be super thrilled and excited. So while I am off this week learning how to lead this company to make sure that it truly does teach every fucking woman on this planet Earth how to lose weight for good and feel as amazing as she deserves, Kathy is going to be fulfilling the mission with you on this call. Y'all enjoy. We'll see you soon. And let me just turn this over to Kathy Hartman.
Okay, y'all. I'm crying because I feel like I'm coming home. I can't wait to get back into coaching, get back into helping you all every day lose weight, feel amazing about yourselves, understand who you are, rejoice in the person you are. I am just very, very happy. I told Lisa, I said, I'm going to cry. And Lisa said, that's okay. So here we go. All right, let's talk about movement and less about me going to coaching. I'm very happy, very excited. Let's just say that. Many of you know, if you listen to the podcast or you have followed me on social or you have, you know my history. When I found Corinne in 2013, I was not an exerciser. I had not been an exerciser in, decades. I mean, I can look back to about the sixth grade and see that I took PE classes, but, you know, I was never on any sports teams. I was never any of that stuff, right? And I found Corinne. She taught me basically the four basics back then. She didn't call them that, but that's basically what they were. And I went to work to lose weight. I did my food plans. I did my, I ate when I was hungry, tried really hard not to overeat, drank all the water, all the things, right? And about 6 months in, and I started losing weight. You know, here's the thing. You can lose weight without exercising. I've done it. I heard MJ say she's done it. Raise your hand if you have lost your weight without any movement. Or don't raise your hand, give a thumbs up, right? So you can do that. Then about 6 months into my weight loss journey, I was at church and a friend of mine said, hey, you know, there's this beginner's boot camp that this girl named Corinne's going to do this summer. You want to go with me? I was like, boot camp? Me? I don't know. You know, these knees, this, all the excuses, y'all, excuses, that little voice in my ear. The knees, the, I don't know how to exercise. I've never been an exerciser. I don't know if it's for me. And she said, it's fine. It's beginners. Let's go together. So I show up the first class. Guess what? My friend's not there. Corinne is there. And a couple of other girls. And the other girls that were there were already seasoned exercisers. But they stayed because they wanted to support me. And this is the summer that Corinne taught me to squat to a picnic table bench. She taught me how to do a push-up on a hill, you know, very similar to like a wall push-up, you know, so it's not so much stress on your shoulders going on. But more so than that, she taught me about how to think about exercise. And I think that's what the crux of this call is about today. Is how you think about exercise. What is your relationship with exercise? And do you know how your relationship with exercise is defined? It's defined by what you think. If you think, oh Lord, I got to get some movement in today, or I'm going to, you know, my ass is going to grow. What do you think your relationship is like with exercise? Or if you think, you know, I have 10 minutes today. I can move my body because I know if I just walk down up and down this hallway for 10 minutes, my joints will loosen up and I'll feel better. Right? So it's all not, your relationship with exercise is not based on what type of exercise you do, how hard you work out, whether or not you work out. It's based on what you think about your exercise and your body and how you take care of your body. And those thoughts, just like anything else, can ebb and flow. your habits can ebb and flow. So I suspect there's three or four different types of people on this call. Sorry, nose is dripping. First one, we probably have seasoned exercisers on here. Okay, I have been. I have done half marathons. I've done triathlons. I have been a seasoned exerciser. We might have people on here who have never exercised, and that's okay, right? They're just curious about it. They're thinking about it. They're wondering, is this for me? We might have people on this call who were serious exercisers, like very committed, who aren't so committed now for one reason or another. So there's all kinds of us out there that have relationships with movement. Whether or not you move, you have a relationship with movement. And it's up to you to define what you want that relationship to be. All that making sense? You with me? Okay. So that means, my notes say here, that means you get to decide what the standard of your well-being and your movement is. The diet industry doesn't get to tell you. Weight Watchers doesn't get to tell you. No BS Movement Challenge doesn't get to tell you. It's all you. And it's all a decision. What you think, that, you know, you can have habit thoughts come in. You can have that, you know, it won't be good enough thoughts come in. But you get to choose whether or not those thoughts actually take hold and create the result. So let's say I decide today I'm going to ride my exercise bike for 30 minutes. And I walk downstairs and I'm like, well, you know, 30 minutes on a bike, that's not a lot of calories. I'm not really, you know, is that really going to help? You know, blah, 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 right? Or I can walk downstairs after work and say, I told myself I'm going to ride that bike for 30 minutes because I always know my knees feel better after I ride that bike. May not want to, but that's okay. I'm going to get on the bike because that's how I'm taking care of myself today. See the difference? Basically, what you do when you're thinking about creating a movement plan for yourself is it's just like creating a weight loss plan. You set a goal. And if you're the type of person that, you know, loves the great big boom goal, the blow your own mind goal, I'm going to lose, you know, all this weight, I'm going to run a half marathon, I'm going to do all these things, and you're motivated by that, I say go all in. If you are motivated by that big goal and you're ready to tackle the world when you create a big goal, that's awesome. That's not me. I am not a big goal motivated person. Big goals overwhelm me. Okay. I would much rather have doable, smaller goals for myself that I know are just a little bit of a stretch that will motivate me just a little bit. So for me, while, you know, Corinne taught me how to lift, how to exercise, how to move my body, that escalated into, you know, daily workouts and running and half marathons and all that. But then it de-escalated when my knees started getting bad again. When I got a kidney stone, y'all, did y'all know I had a kidney stone? That's a whole nother story. Kidney stone. Ugh. So now my relationship with exercise is more of a, how can I take care of my body rather than lose weight or create muscle or something like that. It's how can I make my body feel better? So my why for exercising changed. You know, at first my why for exercising was, let's see what this is all about. I'm curious. It was a curious why. Then in the middle of my journey, my exercise why was like, let's see if I can do this half marathon. Me run? Let's see. Let's try. Now it's more like, how can I take care of my body so I can heal from my kidney stone? So I can take care of these knees while I'm trying to figure out what to do with them? So I can make myself more mobile so I can get up out of the floor without, you know, Ken having to come and scoop me up? You have to develop that why for exercise so that you can start creating your own small exercise goals, right? There's so many great whys for exercise too. And this is where, you know, we're back to the thought work. This is where what you think about exercise is really going to help you decide if, what, how you're going to move. For instance, we already talked about how my body feels better when I exercise, just even just a little bit. You know, whether it's gentle yoga or riding my exercise bike, my body feels better. My joints feel better. You know, the other thing that helps when I exercise a little bit, another thing that improves is my mental well-being. Corinne talked about this a couple of weeks ago on her Q&A. She said, when you move, even when you meditate, even when you walk, you know, slight movement helps release dopamine and it helps your stress hormones de-escalate. If you're prone to anxiety, movement really, really helps. If you're prone to, nervousness or stress, opening up yourself to just a little bit of movement, whether it's meditation, we count as movement, walking up and down the hallway, anything like that, is going to help release some of those stress hormones and help you feel better mentally and physically. So really think about why you would want to move a little bit each day and how, what is the best way? What kind of goal can you set for yourself? If it's 10 minutes, y'all, seriously, I do a 10 minute walk. Well, I have been doing a 10 minute walk. I had surgery last week, so no 10 minute walk for me, but I'm in the habit of, and will re-engage the habit very soon, of walking to work. I'm using air quotes. Okay. Do y'all know what that means? Have you heard this story? Since I work from home, I'm in my son Greg's bedroom. That's my office. I walk out the front door, up the street, around the cul-de-sac behind the house, and come back to my front door. It's about a quarter mile. It takes me 10 or 12 minutes, and it's just like walking from the parking lot into the office building at work. It's how I integrate just a little bit of movement into my day each day. And sometimes I do it 3 or 4 times a day. Sometimes I will, you know, I'm trying to make a decision, or I'm trying to, I've got a shift in work, like I'm moving from one big task into another one. I will take a little 10-minute walk, and it helps a transition immensely. It also de-escalates my stress, my own nervousness, my own anxious feelings. And then I do the same thing at the end of the day. I walk home. I take my 10-minute walk. I finish the day, and then I transition into what I'm going to do the next day. So that brings me to, since I have told you about my ebbs and flows as an exerciser, that brings me into the next point that I wanted to make. And that is, if you are also ebbing and flowing right now in your exercise journey, I want you to really think about what you're telling yourself. If you are like me right now and you're not moving as much as you used to move, what are you telling yourself about that? Are you saying, I used to be so much more fit? I used to be good at this. Things are different now. I don't know what to do. Somebody says, I'm worried about being injured. What do you think all those things are? Are they excuses? Are they fear-based? What are their thoughts, right? Their thoughts about how you are engaged with exercise. But what if you were to think instead, I'm re-establishing a friendship with movement. I'm thinking about what movement would feel good today. Feel good. I'm not saying you got to go to the gym and bust out a, you know, strength workout on all the machines. I'm not saying that. But what if a 10-minute walk, a 10-minute cul-de-sac walk What if that's what would feel good today? You would get the sunshine. You'd get out of the house. You'd breathe in the fresh air. What if that's what felt good? And that's how you began reestablishing a friendship with movement. This quote was shared by member Mary Straub in Facebook yesterday. Rather than being my enemy, my body was trying to reestablish the friendship that I had long ago abandoned. It's a quote from John Bingham. And it stays very present focused. You know, a lot of times when we're thinking about the way things used to be, we're judging ourselves based on our past. And y'all, you can't change your past. Your past is your past. What happened in your past, that's it. It's done. But you can decide how you think about it. You know, module 4 in No BS has a rewriting your diet past lesson in it. You can rewrite your past about anything, about movement, about relationships, about your kids, about how you show up at work, anything. You can rewrite how you think about your past in any topic. But you can also look to your future self for the best guidance. Where do you want to be in your 70s, 80s, and 90s? I'm going to bet in 70s, 80s, and 90s, we don't have a lot of half marathoners. There is that random anomaly, right? Did you see that chick, that's not a very nice term, that lady who finished the Boston Marathon? She was like, I don't know, 90 years old or something. And it was however many marathons in a row. She rocks it for sure. But I'm going to bet that that's not a lot of us. It's definitely not me, but I'm okay with that. My future self, my 70s, 80s, and 90s, is someone who walks with ease, loves to be outside, gets out of the floor by herself, doesn't have to rock my way up out of a chair, you know, can take a fall without breaking a hip. That's who my person is. And I get there by creating a relationship with exercise today, not by lamenting anything in my past, right? Also in module 4 of No BS is old you, new you. It's a lesson on old you, new you. I love this lesson. Corinne talks in the lessons about how she used to talk to herself, that old Corinne voice, and how she identifies and hears her now and decides what the new Corinne voice is. What is the new thing? What's new Corinne saying? And it might be something that just doesn't stick yet, but guess what, y'all? It's not going to stick until you practice it. It's just like you can't sit down to piano and play Beethoven's concerto number 47, right? But you can sit down at the piano and learn one note at a time and practice those notes until you can play Beethoven's concerto number whatever. Everything that we want to do, every goal that we want to set, everything we want for ourselves takes practice. Just like finding enough takes practice, eating when you're hungry takes practice. Making your 24-hour plan habit, it all takes practice. So does how you think about movement. So I want to encourage you to listen to how you think about movement and decide if that's the thoughts you want to continue to have. Make sense? Old you, new you. And if it's not the thoughts you want to continue to have, how can you level them up a little bit? You might be able to say, well, you know, I really don't want to ride the bike today, but I promised myself I would. I really don't want to go to that yoga class today, but I told my friend so-and-so that I'd meet her there. Can I just walk the hallway for 10 minutes. Can I just walk to the mailbox and back 2 times today? Why do I want to do those things? Do I want to do them because, you know, I want to feel better? I want to move better? Or do I want to do them because I'm beating the heck out of myself because I haven't gotten out of this chair yet? How are you talking to yourself? And then the other thing, y'all, module 4 of No BS, it's so good. I'm so glad she did this whole future self module because it applies to everything. You can substitute self-care and your future self and self-care for exercise and your future self. You can look at love your body now and think about how am I integrating movement in a way that where I'm taking care of my body, where I'm making my body feel good. Old you, new you. We've already talked about this. How are you talking? How's the old you talking about exercise versus the new you? Are you pushing yourself harder than your body needs to be pushed? Are you pushing yourself enough? Are you pushing yourself as much as you want to push yourself? I'm going to tell you something. When Corinne was teaching me how to squat to a bench, I gave her the stink eye a lot. I was like, really? You think I can do that? And she's like, yeah, squat to the bench, Kathy. I mean, she was like, no emotion. She was going, she had no drama about me squatting to a bench. I had all the drama. And guess what? I may not have made it all the way down to the bench the first few times, but I eased my way into it. Right? Okay, what's next? Challenge yourself. Here we go. This is a good one. On what you can't do versus what you won't do. So let's define those two things, okay? We're checking the difference between the two. Can't is something you legitimately couldn't do if someone offered you $1 million to do it. If somebody walked in my door right now and said, Kathy, if you will go run a half marathon today and finish in less than 2 hours, no stinking way. Okay, that is a can't for Kathy. All right. First of all, at my best exercises, I wasn't even making 3 hours. But if someone came in here today and said, Kathy, I want you to go downstairs and ride your exercise bike for 30 minutes and then do your PT exercises when you're done. I might go, you know, can't, just had this kidney stone surgery. Or I might go, you know, it's probably a better idea that I not do that right now because I just had kidney stone surgery. That's a won't. But many times, you know, sometimes won'ts, like in the example I just gave you, sometimes won'ts are reasons that you feel good about and feel right about. And that's okay. You got to watch for the ones that don't feel good. And you can tell when a won't is masking as a can't if there's some other emotion going on, like fear. So I saw in the chat a minute ago, someone who is afraid of injury. I was super afraid of injury. Okay. That means you probably think you can't exercise, but what is in the way of you exercising is fear of injury. So if you were to remove the fear and you decide there might be something I can do, like meditate, or stand for a little while, or walk my hallway, then it becomes an I can move. I can, you know, lay on the floor and do leg lifts. I can do a few crunches. I can, whatever it is, it becomes an I can because you've met yourself where you are. Does that make sense? You guys get the difference between can't and won't? It's such an interesting concept because I think a lot of us decide we can't do something and we have all these reasons around it when it's really a won't. So just watch for that. When you say, I can't, ask yourself, is that true? If someone gave me $1 million, if someone gave me $10,000, if Corinne was standing over me, would I be able to do this? If someone helped me, would I be able to do this? So really watch for can't and won't. Sometimes, Corinne talked about this a couple weeks ago too. Sometimes we come up with excuses about why we can't do things, right? I can't go to the gym because I'll be too self-conscious. That's an I won't go to the gym because I'll be too self-conscious. I can't exercise because I'm afraid I will overdo it and be sore tomorrow. What if that becomes I won't exercise because I'm afraid I'll overdo it and be sore tomorrow? Allah says our thoughts are incredibly powerful. Yes, and they're very convincing to us. I used to talk about it's almost like an urge voice. It's almost like an urge voice. I always called my urge voice my negotiator because she sounded like me. She wasn't like this Corinne, you know, you're terrible, blah, 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 blah. You need to da-da-da. It's this very easygoing, you know, you might not want to do that. You know, it's okay if you have an extra glass of wine, you know, because you had a tough day. You know, you might want to be, you're tired. It's okay if you don't get on that bike today. You know, it's late. Who wants to do a yoga class at 6 o'clock at night? It's okay. You know, it's that sing-songy negotiator, you know, disguised as a little self-compassion. No, it's just me not wanting to do what I said I was going to do for myself. And being okay with recognizing that without going down the judgment shame train is exactly where you want to be, because then you get to decide if you want to move, if you don't want to move. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. Some of the ways that you can get from can't to won't, some of the ways that you can figure out what you're doing there is you can look for examples of what's possible and see how we can choose something that feels like a can't. So for instance, you might look for examples of larger or older people who are doing activities that you aspire to do. You know, maybe there's someone else at the gym that you can hook up with. Or maybe you have an accountability partner that you can check in with. You know, look for what others are doing that can help you also realize that maybe your can'ts are won'ts. Look for evidence of success. All right, so this is a big deal to me. You know, we always talk about celebrate every win, right? That's essentially what we're doing, celebrating every little bitty win. So if you decide today, I'm going to take the challenge. I'm going to do what Kathy said. I'm going to walk down the hallway for 10 minutes. You might have a voice that comes in and says, I don't know why you want to do that. That's not going to do you any good. That's not good enough to help you lose weight. Blah, 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 blah. Or you might have a voice. You could intentionally have a voice that says, look at you. Keeping your commitment to yourself. Thank you for giving yourself 10 minutes. 10 minutes is plenty of time. 10 minutes is keeping your promise to yourself. While you know all those habit thoughts are going to come in, just like they do for everything else, y'all. Habit thoughts come in for everything. Sometimes you have to be intentional with how you want to talk to yourself. And practice it, back to practice. Practice it until it becomes more natural. Don't ever let yourself discount progress. Not good enough, or this won't help. Those thoughts are going to come up they're gonna live there in your brain, but you don't have to act on them. You can understand that they're there. You can, you know, a lot of times we're like, why am I still thinking this? You don't have to even worry about that anymore because your brain is just going to keep offering them to you. You just get to decide what you're going to do with them. Next thing I want to mention is separating movement from weight loss. This is a pretty big shift for a lot of us. I mean, how many hit the thumbs up if you're a person that went to Weight Watchers and you got extra points if you exercised? What were they teaching us? They were teaching us, and I'm going to use Corinne's term here, to bastardize our relationship with food and exercise. We got them all mixed up together in a way that doesn't make sense. Exercise is not a weight loss tool. Exercise is something you do for yourself because you want your body to feel good. And, you know, exercising your brain with meditation is just as effective as taking a 5-mile hike. Seriously. Because you get to decide that it is just as effective. You get to have the thought that my 10 minutes of meditation is exactly what I need today to make my brain and body react, feel good. So you have to pull apart food and exercise, okay? You don't earn more food because you exercise. You eat when you get hungry and you stop when you've had enough. And do those shift if you're a heavy exerciser? Maybe, but maybe not. I heard MJ talk earlier this week about learning how to run and about how she did not need more food or didn't realize she was saying, you know, she was thinking about more food until she was like at 6 or 8 miles. That means you can walk up and down the hallway for 10 minutes and not require any more sustenance. You can do an hour-long yoga class or a 30-minute bike ride or a 5-mile hike and not require more food. It's up to you to listen to your hunger signals, not do a math problem in your head with calorie numbers and exercise. That's how you lose weight. That's how you develop a functional, compassionate relationship with exercise that doesn't rely on food. And vice versa. That's how you develop a compassionate, responsible, functional relationship with food that doesn't rely on exercise. My challenge to you is that you separate the two, and when you see them coming back together, remind yourself, these two don't belong together. They don't. Exercise is for me to help my body feel good. Food is for me to give my body what it needs and how much it needs. That's it. It's so simple when we pull it apart. No math problems. No earning anything, no being upset with ourselves when we don't earn something, none of that crap. You trust your hunger signals and your brain is going to offer you shade. It's going to go, hey, you know, you walked, you did a cul-de-sac walk today. You should get a cookie. No, not a dog. I don't get a cookie because I take a walk. What I get from my walk is peace and quiet and sunshine and stretching my legs and transition into my next thing to do. Research shows that when we move to try to lose weight, it messes up both the relationship with the food and movement. But the two can support each other in ways that have nothing to do with calories. When you're following your hunger signals, when you're keeping your exercise commitment plan to your when you're keeping up with your exercise commitment, you're building a trustful relationship with yourself. Both things. Right? When you move a little bit, it gives you energy to wake up and plan. Helps you sleep better. Burns off stress. Those things don't have anything to do with earning food or eating. They have to do with your commitment to yourself. And that's the crux of all this. You need to find whys to do movement that match your values. So for me, it's spending time with my kids and grandkids. I love to go. Y'all, there is nothing funnier than going on a hike with an 8-year-old. They want to pick up all the leaves. They want to talk about all the rocks. They want to pitch waters and rocks in a creek. It is not an exercise walk. It is a fun time outside with the grandkids. That's matching my values. If I get to go on a walk or sit by a creek or, you know, stand outside while I'm, you know, the kids are playing tag or whatever, that's what's matching my values. That's matching my values with my exercise. Corinne talks about passing on good habits to her family. You know, she wants to break that hereditary connection of obesity in her family, right? Well, part of that is how she eats. Part of that is exercise. Part of that is journaling. Part of that is something else. She's not exercising to, you know, she's matching that exercise with her values, with what she wants for her family. Maybe one of your whys is being able to enjoy Boom Boom with your partner. Nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong with that. Not wanting to be a burden on others, staying pain-free. Think about what is, you know, we're back to whys. Just make sure they match the way you want to live your life. Okay. So we'll revisit goals here. If you're that person that wants to live a life of a Spartan or a triathloner or an Ironman, go for it. But if you're more like Kathy and you want to live a life where you want your bones to feel good, you want your joints to feel good, you want to get up out of the floor, you want to take walks with your kids, that's okay too. You get to decide. You get to do it. You get to decide. So how do we implement all this? I've talked a lot today, y'all. Don't forget the monthly challenge page. I know it's the 17th. Do you think I care? Go in there if you haven't yet. Print out one of those calendars and get to work. It's not that hard. You haven't missed it. It's not too late. Those are all just reasons that you can't or won't do a little bit of movement this week or this month. You can be a beginner, or you can be a person who's building their baseline. You get to pick. But I want you to love your reasons. If you're going to be a beginner, I don't want you going in there going, look at me, I have to start at the beginning. I want you going in there going, look at me, I'm walking on that hallway for 10 reasons. 10. I read Judith's chat. I'm walking in the hallway for 10 minutes. That's what I'm going to do today. I've committed to 2 cul-de-sac walks and my PT exercises. That's what I'm doing today. And that's perfect for me. One other thing I'm going to suggest to you, then we'll get to some Q&A. If you've read the book by James Clear, Atomic Habits, he talks about habit stacking. Now, an example of habit stacking is when Corinne tells us to put our No BS planner next to the coffee pot. So, because we always know we're going to go get coffee, we may as well have our planner right there so that we remember to make our plan for the day. Okay, you combine something you automatically do with something you want to do. I encourage you to figure out a way to do this with movement too. So my cul-de-sac walk, when I walk to work, I do it before I come upstairs and sit behind this desk. The book is Atomic Habits by James Clear. When I decide I'm going to walk home from work, I do it the minute I leave this office after I shut my light off for the day. Because I know I'm going to shut my light off and I know I'm going to leave this office. So that's the trigger for me to do my walk home from work, my cul-de-sac walk. Make sense? It does, doesn't it? You can do the same thing. You can sign up for a class at the gym or a yoga class or something like that. Then you've created an obligation, a trigger for you to go. you can get with your accountability partner and say at 3 o'clock today, I'm going to do a 10-minute walk in my hallway or a 10-minute meditation. Will you check in with me at 3:10 and tell me, I know you showed up for yourself? Create some sort of habit stacking trigger, appointment with yourself that will remind you of what you committed to yourself. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I used to, back in the day when I worked for the state, I used to come home every day. And the first thing I would do, Ken and I would do, is whatever exercise we had decided on, whether it was meet at the gym or go for a walk or go for a run or a bike ride or whatever. Wouldn't do anything else. Wouldn't fix dinner. That was the trigger. Me pulling into the garage was the trigger to go put my workout clothes on. What could be your triggers? What could be the habit that you stack so that you do your 10 minutes of whatever or your 30 minutes of whatever? Make it easy on yourself. It's a good way to make it easy, right? Okay, let's see if there are any Q&A. Lisa has been, I'm sure she's been in there working diligently. What if you think this isn't enough exercise to make a difference? Well, I talked about that a little bit. You're going to think that. What if you do? So what if you do think that? Are you going to allow yourself to believe it? Or are you going to say, you know, I hear you, brain. I hear you, negotiator. Of course you're going to say that. I've thought that for a long time. It's where you take it through the four ends, y'all. You normalize it, right? Of course I'm going to think that. Weight Watchers taught me that I had to earn my extra food with exercise. And this isn't enough to get me a point. Then you neutralize it and you say, if you're thinking this isn't enough to exercise to make a difference, you neutralize it to say this is exercise. And then you decide the next thought or the next action. Are you going to do it anyway, even though you thought that stuff? Or are you going to, you know, give in because you know it's not going to be enough? See, it's all in how you think. What you think drives everything, y'all, creates all the results in your life. It really, really does. Shocking, right? All right. Karen said, so I'm assuming that I listen to my body on the movement end of things as well. I have RA, osteoarthritis, fibromyalgia, scoliosis, spinal stenosis, not stated as an exercise, but as facts. Sure. Those are the facts in your world. I have days I can go for long walks and days I can walk to the couch, kitchen, back to the couch. Guess it's okay if it changes that drastically as long as I move to my ability. Yes, 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 Karen. As long as you stay in that connection with what your body needs and the exercise values you want to have, then you are spot on. Right? So regardless of what all of the diagnoses or facts, and I'm talking true facts, these are diagnoses, so they're true facts, are in your life, you can still have a relationship with taking care of your body. And some days it might be rest. And some days it might be a 10-minute walk in the hallway. And some days it might be a 3-mile walk. But as long as you are in tune with what your body needs, you will never go wrong. I promise you that. Just don't make what you think your body needs an excuse. There's a difference. Do y'all know the difference? An excuse usually comes from this I can't and I won't conversation. Whereas being kind to yourself and understanding what your values are and how they come together can just be self-compassionate. I hope that's clear. Am I saying that in a clear way? Does everybody? All right, Trudy says I'm on fire. So I guess that's we're doing okay, right? All right, good deal. Here's a follow-up to Lisa's question. If you are doing a consistent exercise and all the other no BS things, and you're still not losing weight, so you have evidence that it's not enough, then what? What's the evidence? If you're doing all the no BS things, you're doing a little exercise, what's the evidence that it's not enough? How do you know? There's no change on the scale, but what? Why does that mean exercise isn't helping? Why does that mean no BS isn't helping? See? What if they are? What if your measurements are changing? What if you're creating habits that will ultimately result in weight loss? What if you're creating awareness around how your body feels, what your body needs, good, better, best, stopping at enough, starting at hunger, whether or not you've got your water in? What if you just know there might be one level up? Or maybe you're a fat dumper. You see what I'm saying? I'm busting all kinds of holes in exercise is not enough. Exercise isn't one of the basics, y'all. Let me say that for those in the back. Exercise is not one of the four basics. Exercise is a gift you give yourself if that's what you want to do. Match it up with what you want from it, not with the scale. You talked about a bracelet you wear and wore as a reminder. What did it say? I loved it and thought it was so good. Oh gosh, I have so many bracelets. When I was training for my very first half marathon, Corinne trained me. She taught me how to run. Seriously, she had to teach me how to run. I walked 4 minutes, ran 1 minute for 13.1 miles. And I had a bracelet that I wore all the way through my training that said, believe. So every time I would hit mile 8 and my knees would start to kill me, I'd be like, what the heck am I doing? This is ridiculous. I'm not doing myself any good. Blah, 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 blah. You know, here comes all the chatter, right? I'd look down at that bracelet and I would say, you've asked yourself to believe in yourself. So let's keep going. Can I just keep going? Can I just walk this next 4 minutes? Can I just remember why I'm here? Believe. It's a good word. I have a hard time believing that exercise won't make a difference in weight loss. Is it really true that you can continue to lose weight without moving? I lost weight for 6 months without moving. Raise your hand if you have, or raise your hand. I keep saying raise your hand. Give me thumbs up if you have lost weight without movement. There you go, anonymous. Your weight loss is more tied to what and how much you put in your mouth than whether or not you're taking a 10-minute walk or running 3 or 4 miles. It's more tied to whether or not you're getting your sleep and your water and managing your stress and managing your mind and managing how you talk to yourself than exercise. And that's the truth. I'm not lying here. I lost a lot of weight before I started exercising. And then when I did start exercising, it was just little things. It's a little walk. It's a little squat to a bench. I just did what I could. I was compassionate with myself. Every now and then I'd give Karen the stink eye when she asked me to do something else. But I also knew that she wouldn't ask me to do anything else that she didn't think I could do. So that's back where I borrowed her belief in me to believe in myself. So let's wrap up that way, okay? I believe that you can create a relationship with movement. 100% I believe that. And I would love for you to borrow my belief in you until you can create that belief in yourself. And I'm talking, I'm I know I've said it 100 times, y'all, but I'm talking about meditation. I'm talking about 10-minute walks. I'm talking about 30-minute bike rides. I'm not talking about Ironmans here. I'm not talking about, you know, busting out Corinne's, you know, back workout and, you know, for the very first time when you haven't exercised in years. I'm talking about creating doable, reasonable thoughts and relationships with movement. That's all the questions. Got a few things to wrap up with. If you want coaching on your movement, Corinne is doing a special coaching call this Sunday on your relationship with movement. Emails in your inbox. Go ahead and sign up. Fill out the form. I will say, even if you don't get selected, I bet you a dollar that someone is going to have the same thought coaching that you would need. So tune into that call. It's going to be super good. And have you signed up for camp? Going to talk about excuses on Saturday with Coach MJ in our very first pre-camp call. It's Kathy and MJ. It's the Kathy and MJ show on Saturday. If you want to, what are we talking about? How to start busting easy excuses before camp so we can get to the ones that really matter. I challenge you to sign up and work on exercise excuses. Yeah. What if you come to camp and you're rocking 10 minutes a day because you signed up and busted your excuses about exercise? I'm telling you, I did a post in the membership probably a couple weeks ago because I proofread the scripts for the camp videos. She was coaching me for 9 videos, y'all. Every excuse in the book. I mean, it's weight loss excuses for sure, but holy cow, exercise, work, how I show up, all the things. I was going, well, she's in my head again. Many of y'all thought that she's in my head again. Last but not least, this is important too. Do you deal with pain in movement? You know, the person that I answered the Q&A, listen up. Guest coach Susie Hatley has a coaching call tonight. Her specialty is coaching on exercise and pain in movement. Okay, 5 o'clock tonight or catch the replay. All right. Well, I'm glad to be back. I talked for an hour. Thanks for being here. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for listening. Do yourself a solid. Think about what you think about. Okay? Think about what you think about. And think about how you're showing up based on what you're thinking. All right. I'll have a beautiful day. And I will see my campers on Saturday. Bye, y'all.